And it is very difficult to deal with people who are frustrated. To lead people who are frustrated is quite difficult. And Moses became exasperated with them. They were exasperated with him. He was exasperated with them. And he cries out to God, what am I to do with these people? These people are getting on my nerves. Often he and God would argue whose people they were. The Lord told him, they're your people. Moses said, no, they're not. They're your people. Yeah, he had the kind of conversation and ability to interact with God that perhaps somebody else would have got killed for. But Moses was a leader. He was a leader. Title or not, he was a leader. There is a distinction between titles and leadership. There's nothing worse than calling somebody by a title and them not be the leader that matches up with the title. Now, to be sure, to be a leader is a difficult thing because the expectations rest on you. And the expectations rest on you whether it was your fault or not. They expect you to fix things that are unfixable. Change things that are beyond your grasp. Moses is wrestling with a problem that he did not create, and he could not create, and he could not fix, but they charged him as if it was his fault. So you cannot be sensitive and be a leader. You have to be tough enough to understand that you don't respond to every accusation and allegation, because sometimes the question has more to do with the questioner than it does you. You're the one that's frustrated. You're the one that's at the end of your rope. And they're complaining about being thirsty. And I thought to myself, if there was no water, then wasn't Moses thirsty too? But we often forget that our leaders are also one of us. And we expect them to be superhuman as if they have no need. But in reality, if there was no water to drink, then Moses' mouth was dry too. And often the challenge with being a leader is that you are exempted and opted out of the opportunity to be human. Moses is one of my heroes, not because he was the perfect leader, but he was a powerful leader. He was a relentless leader. He had found the thing he was born to do, and he didn't find it at first. It takes a while to find the thing you were born to do. Most of the time, you end up doing the things you have to do, not really recognizing the thing you were born to do. And then when you find the thing that you're born to do, you have to figure out how you're going to do it. Because there are lots of ways to do it. Here's the first indication of a leader. You must be willing to be unorthodox. There's nothing worse than putting a person into leadership who is more worried about fitting in than they are standing out. Unorthodox, really in its origin, means to be out of the ordinary, not the previously accepted ideology, not mimicking the methods of the people who are surrounding you. All of our great leaders throughout history were always unorthodox, rule breakers. If you expect to be written about, you got to be willing to break some rules. If you're more concerned about fitting in, then just be the status quo. But nobody writes about people who followed the status quo. When Martin Luther tapped the 96 Theses on the door of the church, as history proclaims that he did, if he did that, he was willing to be unorthodox and was ridiculed and was criticized. And they tried to kill him because he wouldn't act like one of them. Martin Luther was an unorthodox leader. Martin Luther King Jr. was an unorthodox leader. He didn't quite fit in with Malcolm. He didn't quite fit in with the Panthers. He didn't quite fit in with the generation before him. His method of courage like the Panthers, coupled with peace like a Christian, made him an oddity. Are you willing to be odd? Are you willing to be different? Nobody follows people who follow trends. A great leader creates trends, stands out, does things differently. Moses, in my estimation, is one of the greatest leaders of the Old Testament. He follows after the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. But he is a great, great leader, so much that God protected him all of his life. Not that he didn't have peril, not that he didn't have a rough childhood, not that he wasn't denied the right to grow up in a normal Israelite family. All of that was taken from him. But all of that has something to do with how God shaped him. He grew up where he was a misfit. He couldn't quite fit in as an Israelite or a Hebrew, because he was raised like an Egyptian. And he talked like an Egyptian. And he was educated like an Egyptian. And he understood the protocol of an Egyptian. He had never woken up a day in his adult life living in a slave quarter. And yet he is called to lead people that he's kin to, but he's not their kind. He couldn't stay with the people that he was their kind because he wasn't their kin. And so one of the proclivities of being a leader is to have the ability to adapt and become comfortable with being controversial. It isn't just that he is the pastorpreneur of the era, though he was. Moses is the leader of the Old Testament church. The very first inkling of an understanding of the church comes through the ecclesia, the called out ones. They were called out of slavery to establish not only the Old Testament church, of which he is the shepherd of the sheep, leading them. He is also the head of state when it comes to organizing a nation of people that were once slaves. And they have cried out to God for their freedom, and Moses has come to deliver them from the oppression of Pharaoh, but he was delivering people that didn't always like him. And if you have too much of a need to be liked, you can't be a great leader because you're too much of a pleaser. I'm just giving you some guidelines. If it becomes more important to you to be liked than it is to lead, you're probably not a leader. You just have a title and you're in a tough position, because something you do is going to frustrate somebody no matter which decision you make. Can I go deeper? Now, the metrics of leadership is movement. You can't say you're a leader if you don't have any metrics to prove you are moving things. So don't go by the title, and don't just go by the preaching. How much difference are you making, and how do you quantify the distance between with you and without you? And if without you looks just like with you, then you're not a leader, you're a placeholder. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So we want to have some measurements. What are the measurements that you measure whether you're a leader or not? Well, this is not for me. I'm not a leader. Everybody in this room is a leader in one way or another. They have a degree of leadership responsibility, because leadership at its core means influence. And if you have any influence, if it's just over your children, if it's just over your sister, if it's just over your mama, if it's just over yourself, you have the responsibility to adapt to as much as possible to an understanding of seeing yourself as a leader. If not, you have to sit and wait on somebody to follow. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Leadership is what the Bible calls favor. Yeah, because if leadership is influence, influence is favor. It's not a title, it's not a stage, it's not visibility. It may increase your affluence, but more stage time doesn't equate to influence. There's a difference between affluence and influence. The stage gives you affluence, but it doesn't necessarily mean you have influence. Sometimes the people who are not on the stage have more influence than the people who stand on the stage and often hire the people on the stage. And yet we have a tendency to desire the light. So we'd rather be in the light than on the building. We would rather be in the light than on the building. Because whoever owns the building doesn't get seen, but they have the influence to make the decision about who stands on the stage. Are you hearing what I'm saying? The actor gains affluence, can't go anywhere, can't go in the grocery store, people taking pictures of them everywhere, but the studio has influence. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There are many, many singers that became very, very famous and died very, very broke. And they had affluence and they had fan clubs and they had fan page and they had to deal with tabloids, but they ended up with little or nothing to show for what they had. And they had very little to show for what they had because they had affluence does not equate to influence. We are not trained to look for influence. We are trained to look for affluence. So we prosper in areas that give us affluence. We want to be preachers. We want to be football players. We want to be basketball stars. We want to be hip hop artists. We want stage. We don't want to own the label. We don't want to own the company. We don't want to own the studio. We don't want to own. So what we have modeled in front of us is affluence at a time that the world is looking for somebody with influence. Affluence shines on the stage. Influence shines in the boardroom. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you? And I feel like God is getting ready to shift some of you into places of influence. And your influence is getting ready to increase. And you have been disappointed with life because you never got affluence. But the Lord told me to tell you I didn't give you affluence because I'm getting ready to give you. Oh, I'm talking to somebody. So when I'm talking to leaders, I'm talking to you. You don't even know it yet because the world has not recognized you as a leader. They've recognized you to a degree as a person with talent, but they don't see you as a leader. And it's because you're getting affluence, but you haven't gotten influence. And influence is getting ready to break forth in your life like you've never seen it before. As soon as you let go of your addiction to affluence, nothing worse than hiring somebody into an influential position and all they want is affluence. Nothing worse than having a pastor who is a leader and all he wants to do is preach. Pastoring is much bigger than preaching. It is leading. It is looking at the metrics and seeing how much distance have you covered. And it's not just quantity, it's quality. It's not always about having a bigger church. It's about having a better church. We have fallen in love with bigger and not better. But the metrics that we might be measured by might not be numerical metrics. It might be the depth to which you have influenced the lives of the people that heard you. But you don't want that because you don't get credit for being a great pastor. You get credit for having a big church. And America, in particular, is in love with affluence. We stand for hours to take pictures of people on the red carpet who have affluence, and the people who sign the contract for the people that are on the red carpet walk right past you and you pay them no attention, because we do not glorify leadership, we glorify light. But the reason I thought it was important, normally I would just teach something like this at a leadership conference, and I do have some things that I'm going to teach there, but I'm going to give you a little precursor today in case you don't make it, or in case you do come, you'll come with your head on straight. The Bible said in Luke 2:52, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and favor with God and man. Favor with man is influence. Favor with God is influence. To have favor with God means I can speak up and say things to God and things will change. And what is powerful about Luke 2:52 is that Jesus increased. If Jesus increased, that means that I can increase. I can start out with no influence and end up with all kinds of influence. My influence can increase. And one of the ways to know that you're influence is increasing is by the level of your attack. Some people have not earned the right to be severely attacked or greatly attacked because they don't have great enough influence. When the enemy sees that you're about to get greater influence, he sends on greater demons to attack your life, to assassinate the destiny that is over your life. Hallelujah. The devil doesn't know it, but he's warning you of what is about to come by the level of attack that precedes the next move that's coming in your life. Who am I talking to today?